It's What's the Buzz, our weekly chat with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
This week we are going to be discussing methamphetamines. Would you be able to maybe start off by just giving us a little bit of background on the current meth situation in the country?
So methamphetamine or P, these two terms are used, but they're essentially the same thing, are a stimulant, and they can have harsh and unpredictable effects on the body. There is about 1% of the New Zealand population that use methamphetamine, and this data essentially over the last 10 years has remained relatively static, so the prevalence rate for methamphetamine has unfortunately hasn't greatly increased, but unfortunately hasn't really come down either. And about half of those users use the substance very infrequently, so maybe once or twice a year, but about 20% of them use it at least weekly. So that's the sort of overall situation with methamphetamine use in New Zealand.
And would you say that we have a relatively high methamphetamine problem compared to other countries?
Yeah, I mean, we do. Our problem has continued to exist, and it hasn't improved. There is some concern that among those regular users that maybe the harms are compounding for them, and certainly we know that it takes a user about 5 to 10 years for them to, or it can do that long, to seek help for methamphetamine use. So this would stack up. We don't have sort of any data that suggests strongly that methamphetamine use has become more prevalent, but it has remained steady over those last 10 years and is sort of seen to be one of our more problematic substances.
And would you say it's one of the most addictive substances compared to what else is out there on the black market?
Methamphetamine is a really strong substance, and some people experience large amounts of harm for themselves or others, or they get addicted. So it's quite important for us to sort of note that for the 1% of people who do use methamphetamine, there are a number of things that they can do to reduce the risk of harm and impacts on themselves. For example, not mixing it with other substances, or using it very infrequently, or reducing frequency of use. The media have tended to portray those very extreme stories of harm and sort of that one dominant sort of narrative around methamphetamine addiction, which is absolutely true for some people and very concerning. And we also need to make space for the reality that some methamphetamine users aren't becoming addicted. And we want those people to be able to reach out and get help and have honest conversations with their loved ones to avoid them experiencing harm or going on to form an addiction.
I just want to touch on stigma around some of the different names methamphetamines have in the market, because obviously it's a drug that can be consumed in many different forms and under different names. So if you look at Speed, for example, you have that being considered a party drug, which carries very different connotations to when you think about, you know, the more traditional term of methamphetamines.
Yeah, so people are using it differently. I think that is an important point. So there are some people who may be using it recreationally, or there may be some people using methamphetamine to suppress feelings, which is probably true of a number of substances, or they may be using it to keep them working really long hours. And there's a very diverse group of people who are using methamphetamine among those 1% of the population that do use it. So it's not just something that's in one pocket of society. Actually, there are people across different sections of society that are using methamphetamine and potentially experiencing harm from it. But there's also a huge amount, I mean, of all of our substances, it's one of the most stigmatised substances. In particular, that, you know, a lot of fear and discrimination against people who are using methamphetamine, and that stigmatisation prevents people from having honest conversations. It potentially sends them down a pathway of experiencing more harm from their use. And really, I guess, you know, if you think about other problems you might have, you might reach out to loved ones or they might reach out to you, and it reflects back to you on your behaviour or what's happening for you. And the stigmatisation and the secrecy means people become more and more isolated and aren't having those conversations. And then they're also not relating to, you know, the whole conversation we have around methamphetamine. Whilst we need to not ignore those really problematic stories, for some people they aren't experiencing it in that same way, and so they aren't relating to the main narrative around methamphetamine, and they aren't therefore thinking, oh, maybe I do need some help or some advice around how I'm using the substance and failing to get help. And so we think it's really important to offer compassion rather than judgment, and to sort of have those honest conversations with the people around us and the people we love, and also for the people who have formed an addiction, supporting them rather than writing them off, helping them and helping them to get that assistance to reduce or stop their use.
So what are some of the main support systems that are currently in place for people struggling?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, one thing I'll promote is Meth Help. So we have a website called Meth Help, and I would encourage anyone who's listening who either thinks they may be using methamphetamine problematically, or is using methamphetamine, or has a loved one they think that they may be using methamphetamine, to have a look at it because it's got some good advice. There are addiction services available, but one of the things that we're really concerned about is the lack of availability for support and information and services to people that are using any substances problematically, methamphetamine included, right along the spectrum of harmful use. So, and use generally, actually. So, we might be able to, you know, stem people off from forming addictions if we're able to not judge them so much and provide them with better information and support early on. And one of the other great things that's happening in the country, actually, if I can maybe speak to that, is a program up north, which I sort of talked a bit about last week when we were talking about MDMA, but the police working in conjunction with health up north, and it is showing some promising signs of improvements up there. And it's because they aren't just using supply control, they are working to reduce harm and it sort of mobilise the community and reduce demand, and working along those three pillars we think is a more effective way and does seem to be showing some signs of success. So we'd love to see more resourcing of that program to enable people to have more supports available to them if they're using methamphetamine, and to have that rolled out around the country as well.
Yes, because I did want to ask you if you had any comments on police response to the methamphetamine problem in the country. So obviously there's that program up north, but would you say, aside from that, it's been largely based on attacking the supply chain?
Yeah, I mean, that has been, we have a drug policy in the country that has those three pillars of the supply control, demand reduction, and reducing the problems or harms. And we've tended to invest all our resources in supply control. And we don't think that we can arrest our way out of the meth problem. And now more than a decade of methamphetamine use in New Zealand, that is proven to be the case. The situation hasn't really improved. So we do need to use other strategies, and so we're really keen to get in behind those initiatives that are showing some promising signs of results, and to support people to prevent them from becoming addicted in the first place. And then we might have some, you know, hope of driving down methamphetamine use.
And you say the program up north seems to be showing pretty promising signs of being, of having the potential to be quite successful. How long do you think it will take to see the rollout of similar programs across the country?
Yeah, we and others have been calling for that program to be expanded for quite some time now. But I'm hoping that in this coming year or two, we will see a rollout of that program. I'm also hoping that after, a bit more sort of talking, we might get some better resourcing for people who are experiencing, who are using drugs but aren't at that addiction end of the spectrum. So we're lacking a whole lot of stuff. We're sort of setting New Zealanders who may end up using substances up to fail because we essentially are providing them with very little in the way of information or advice. Until, there's basically nothing available to you aside from our website. Until you end up at the addiction end of the spectrum. And then it's hard to get a place in an addiction service, so there are limited places. You may miss out because there's a waiting list. And we know that for people who are thinking about dealing with their addiction, that there's a limited window. And if we miss that window, they miss out and they don't end up getting the support they need. Or worse, we end up with them in the criminal justice system. And even there, they may or may not get a treatment service made available to them. So, and we know convictions do nothing to deter people from using. So we sort of condemn those people, and we think we can do a heck of a better job than we are at the moment supporting people and shifting them away from problematic use, and also not condemning people that are using the substance very infrequently so that we don't end up with them experiencing much more harmful things than they need to.
Now, I think that was all I had on my end question-wise. Did you have anything else you'd like to touch on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of sort of consequences of meth use that's probably good for people to know about. So, firstly, it is a Class A substance, and so that means that it can carry a life sentence for supply, and even having 5 grams or a teaspoon of methamphetamine is enough to warrant a conviction for possession for supply. And essentially, the effects of meth, they can last for 4 to 12 hours. So we would encourage people to not to use regularly, not to mix with other substances if they have used the substance. And it's not uncommon to overdose on methamphetamine if used often or in high amounts. And over a period of time, meth can change the way your brain works. So it can cause a sort of long-lasting problems with impulse control. So it becomes hard to regulate your thoughts, emotions, and your impulses. And it can impact your sleep and your mental health. And it can also have impacts on your physical appearance. So, we just encourage people to have a look at that meth help website or talk to their loved one or their doctor about their methamphetamine use. So one more thing, if you are trying to stop using methamphetamine, so it is actually potentially possible to quit yourself. You can also access services. But on our Meth Help website, there is a resource that you can download for home withdrawal. And the worst part of the withdrawal symptoms lasts for the first 2 weeks of coming off methamphetamine use. So you can have a good look at that on our Meth Help website. Yeah,
this is The Wire, and that was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
Why should you want to know?